This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3 SoCalArmenian.com. Hello, welcome to Startup to Success with Maria. My guest today is Connie Golds, who is the founder and executive director of Desert Best Friends Closet, a nonprofit that lowers barriers to employment for its clients in the greater Palm Springs area. She has grown the company from its initial 1500 budget to nearly 300,000 and operates one of the Valley's top thrift boutiques. Connie, thank you so much for joining us today. Welcome to the show.
I'm very happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Maria.
All right. So, you know, I'm going to dive in. I'm all about success stories and startup to success.
Ranges
anywhere. We talk about startups. We talk about successes. To us, you're definitely a success story. So if you can start off by telling me what inspired to start the company.
So, you know, when you look around other communities, originally, we started in 2008, one of my technically a co-founder, but my original co-founder, we were talking about what's missing in our community. And we were originally focusing on prom dresses, because you see around prom time, you see always on the national news, you know, the Cinderella Project, the Glass Slipper Project, the Princess Project, where, you know, low-income girls get a prom dress. And so we didn't have anything like that here in the Valley. And so I was very focused on that. But then it's like, wait a second, if I'm going to do something, I don't want to do something that's just going to be one part of the year. I want to do something that's year round. And that's when we kind of start looking at, you know, providing interview attire. Also, if you're going to do clothes, might as well do all kinds of clothes. So, and so we start off by going to, in the Coachella Valley, we have very seasonal employment. And so every September is a very large job fair. Usually, you know, let's say pre-COVID times, you know, anywhere from 4,000 to 5,000 attendees go to this job fair. They often will hire on the spot for seasonal positions. And so I had developed a survey and I went around at this job fair and talked to many of the HR people. You know, what do they think when they interview an applicant who's not dressed appropriately? What signals does that send? What do they think? And pretty much we came away with two takeaways. One is that people do judge, first impressions do count. And number two, that they felt that there was a real need in this community that people either lack the resources, either hanging in their closet or in their wallet, and they often lack the knowledge. So my background is I used to work with deaf and hard of hearing. And so the whole point of the American with Disability Act is to level the playing field. And that's what we try to do with low-income job seekers. We level the playing field. If they don't have appropriate interview attire, we provide that. If they don't have the knowledge and skills on how to apply. So we have our Bridge to Employment program where we work with two very distinct populations. We work with formerly incarcerated or people with disabilities. For both of them, we try to lower the barriers that they have to employment. And oftentimes it's just coaching them on how to do an interview, coaching them on how to walk in, shake hands, take control of the room, and, you know, things to say and not to say. You know, when you think about it, you never get feedback on a job interview. You either got the job or you didn't. And that's the only feedback you get. So, you know, we do mock interviews and really drill down. And, you know, one of the stories I love to tell is that a mock interview, you know, you ask the question that's often asked at an interview, tell me about your weaknesses. And one of our clients said, women. Which, so then, you know, that gives us, now we can talk about how you really want to, at the job interview, you talk about things that are work related, nothing in your personal life. Had another, you know, I asked a candidate, you know, tell me something that you're proud of. And she says, oh, I'm proud of my kids. I just went to Student of the Month assembly. And yes, I understand, particularly a single mom being very proud of her kids. But again, once you open that door, then that leads, you know, the types of, you know, the interviewers can ask questions about your children and how many, whereas they can't do that if you don't open the door.
Right.
So we really, and why it's important not to open that door, because she didn't understand. So we really do a lot of coaching and drilling down on those things that they really need help with.
That's amazing. That's so cool. And so tell me, what steps did you take to actually start this?
Well, you know, there's paperwork to become a 501c3. So we had some help getting that paperwork. And in the beginning, we started very small. I like to say we were strategic. Maybe it was because of ignorance, but we just started collecting clothing from friends and delivering it to agencies. And we met with a nonprofit coach, a consultant, kind of, you know, should we get like, put our efforts to try to get like a mobile van, or should we get our efforts into getting a location? So he really encouraged us to get a location. So that was back in 2010. And we were very lucky the desert was overbuilt for commercial space. And so we got a rent-free space. Wow. So that was a game changer. So we had a location that people could be come to us. I was able to get.
Was it because you're a nonprofit and they?
So we're a nonprofit and we could get. Yes, they let us have this space, and of course it's a tax write off for the landlord. It's an advantage to them, and it worked out. And the desert was at that time was very overbuilt, so there was a lot of empty commercial spaces. So it was a win-win for everybody. We were at a location out by the freeway, which I thought if we're serving the entire Coachella Valley, being by the freeway would be helpful. But what I did learn is that if you're riding the bus, that's not such a great location. So a few years later, we got a location on the main route, Highway 111, which is the main bus route. So in the beginning, you know, I was really good about giving things away. I hadn't quite figured out how to monetize it, you know, how to become sustainable. That was a real struggle for us. It's really hard for me to ask for money. And I think as a woman, and I don't know if you encounter this with some of the people you interview, asking for money, it's like trying to say I'm worth more.
Yeah.
It's not knowing your worth and our value. So it took a while for that to happen. So that was one of my very initial struggles. Now I'm much better about asking for money. So, and so we have agency. So our business model is we never charge a client. So we either we bill back the referring agency a fee for us for serving their client, or we have a funded program. So we have a youth attire program so that high school students, if they need clothes, whether it be for an interview or an internship, or maybe they're doing mock trial or Junior Statesman of America or the debate team where they need professional attire, they can self-refer because that program is funded through the Anderson's Children Foundation. We have a homeless program that is funded through the city of Indian Wells, where we work with a couple of different local homeless shelters that when their clients are ready to get to look for work, because work is usually the last thing they're looking at, usually rapid housing and stability and things like that. When they're ready to look for work, then we can come in and help them with that. So that is, and then we moved to this location in February 2014, we're on Highway 111 in Palm Desert. And the way that, and we went from rent-free to paying rent, that was a very big step. It was a scary step. But the way the space is divided, we have a front room and then we have back rooms. The front room is open to the public, where we operate a very nice thrift boutique, and the back room are the client rooms. So that way we separate clients from shoppers.
That's amazing. That's so interesting. Now you said that sometimes you get referrals from the agencies. How does that part work? The agencies refer you, and then do they get funding to pay you, or they just pay out of their own pocket?
So pre-COVID, so a lot of things are pre-COVID, and COVID really has impacted how we do our business. Pre-COVID, we had a very close relationship with your Welfare to Work program. And in Riverside County, which we are part of, it's called the GAIN program. And so I would go to the different GAIN offices and I do presentations, partly to let people be comfortable with coming to us for services, partly to inform them. I'm kind of funny and entertaining, yeah, so they feel comfortable. And then as a client of the GAIN program, the client has the option, if they need attire, they could go to Ross. Mm-hmm. They get a voucher for $70. They could go to Ross and take that voucher. But if they come to us, you know, $70 only goes so far. If they come to us, we can get them up to 3 outfits. And for women, that will include getting them fitted for bras. It will include shoes and handbags and costume jewelry. So there's more bang for their buck coming to us, number one. Number two, we guarantee the county that what they will get will be interview appropriate. Because once you send people to shop, you lose complete control what they're going to get. Maybe get a gold lamé skirt because it's really cute and pretty. That may not be appropriate. So that's where, you know, it's a win-win for the client. It's a win-win for the county.
Now, you mentioned before our interview that you have a fundraiser coming up on April 1st. Talk about that. I want to know how you're putting that together and
So I'm going to start off. So our theme for our fundraiser is always put your best shoe forward. So it's a little play on that words, put your best foot forward. Yeah. And because I love chocolate and I love dessert, we always have a shoe themed dessert at our event. That's kind of one of our things we're known for. If I have to cancel my event or make it virtual this year, I will lay down on the floor and have a temper tantrum like a 2-year-old. So in 2020, we had to cancel it the last minute. And in 2021, we put on a virtual event, which I had the crazy idea that anyone who bought a ticket, we would deliver a dessert to their door the day before, which we did. I had a team, and myself included, running all over the valley delivering these. We had these little shoe cupcakes. They were adorable. But I've told my staff, if we have to do that again, please kick me and don't let me do that again, because it was not very... So it's a luncheon and a fashion show, but it's a fashion show with a twist. So instead of having fashions that you would want to buy, we feature our clients and we tell their stories. And they're actually, it's very inspirational. And then we also have a pop-up of our thrift boutique, and we'll have other vendors there too, selling, items, jewelry and purses and, things like that, very unique things, kind of to enhance the experience for our guests. And then of course we have a silent auction, your traditional and the fun, the paddle raise. It's a fun event. I really hope, I miss live events. I'm really hoping it will be live. So, and on our website, anyone can go to events. Our website is bfcloset, like bestfriendcloset.org. And on the website, you can go to event and you can order a ticket or a table or be a sponsor, all those wonderful, cool things.
Now, the one in April, is that going to be online as well, or it's just in person?
No, April, I am intending that we are going to be live and in person at the Agua Caliente Casino Hotel and Ranch Mirage.
Oh, that's
wonderful. So it's a very nice venue.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a beautiful venue, and their grand ballroom. It's a beautiful venue, and it's really nice, and we're very excited about it. We've got, I've pretty much made, we're always looking for more sponsors because we like to help promote our sponsors on our social media channels. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter. It's exhausting because
speaking of sponsors, have you posted anything on Haro to get product sponsors, like companies, brands that have products to sponsor you? That way you can put them in the gift bags.
It never occurred to me.
So I'm going to tell you a little wellness workshop that we did, a little secret on how we ended up getting a bunch of products for our gift bags, because we had 50 guests every month for 3 months. We did this wellness workshop over the summer in 2021. We have, for Roma Leaf, my other company, I have a retail store in Studio City, and we have this beautiful backyard behind the store. So we decided to do wellness workshops. We invited doctors, psychiatrists to come and talk about anxiety. And so these workshops, we talked about anxiety, and then they also talked about the latest research on CBD and how it helps anxiety and all the benefits and where the research, which phases the research is at and so on. And so I wanted it to be worthwhile for the attendees. And obviously we gave free products of our own to the guests, but I wanted more health and wellness products. So I ended up posting, and it's free to do on Haro, by the way. You can go on Haro. You just register, so right now, if you're on Haro, you're probably registered as a brand. So what you want to do is go register like a journalist, or I don't know what the other terminology is that they use. I think an agency or a journalist. So you register with as that, but use a different email. And then you just go and post a query, and you just say fundraiser April 1st, we need gift items, and just kind of specify what you need. If it's something in the health and wellness industry, if it's something related to jobs and maybe notebooks, I don't know, just be specific in terms of what you want. And then you submit it. Once they approve, just like, you and I connected, once you approve, the email goes out to hundreds and thousands of brands. And if they feel the fit, they'll contact you, and then they'll ask for your address, and they'll ship you the products.
And it's okay. Thank you. That's a really good tip. That's one
win for everyone. You can have literally goodie bags giving away at the fundraiser, which will make it more attractive for the next one because people love getting gifts. I literally had 50 big, I mean, the amount of products that we got, we were so shocked. People were like, oh my God, this, like, each bag is worth like $100. That's wow. The value of the products were.
Wow. It's great. And I love those goodie bags. I feel like a 5-year-old kid going to a birthday party, leaving with a goodie bag. Yeah. So that's very exciting.
Specify the amount, you know, if it's 25, 50, whatever it is, just put the amount. Then some brands will come back to you and say, hey, I don't have 50. I have 25. Are you interested? And they'll ship it to you. And all they want is maybe a mention and, just make sure to track and take pictures and whatever to share it with them. That's the least we can do, right? And we ended up promoting them on social media. We ended up creating video snippets and shared it with them. Like, and then our workshop ended up being featured on Fox LA. So, and we had the products on the table. So we did everything we could to shine a light on their products as well. So
that's good. That's good. No, I could definitely do that. That's a really good idea.
And have you contacted the media to see if you can get anybody to come and cover you?
The local media is usually pretty good about that. Nice. So, the desert's very good with what I call hyper local coverage, yes, of local events, whether it's the local newspaper or the local television stations. Yeah.
Awesome. Definitely. Good. Good, good. Yeah. If there's anything else, let me know. I'm happy to share. I'm happy to share my little copy that I've used to find these sponsors.
Oh, I would love to see that. That would be very helpful.
Yeah. So how is tell me about putting the fundraiser together. I'm assuming it's the actual job in itself. How do you manage to do what you do, your day to day, right? And running your nonprofit, and then on top of it, putting this huge fundraiser together.
So, it's teamwork. And of course, with COVID, it is a little bit, that has really changed. We lost, we have a lot of volunteers. We lost many volunteers from COVID who want to, because most of our volunteers are older, so they want to stay home and safety. So we have some new volunteers. So it's sort of divvying up the chores, so to speak. I have someone that comes in, a volunteer comes in on Wednesday mornings and helps me with sending out the solicitation letters and the phone calls when we're seeking sponsors. And now we're focusing on seeking, gift items for our silent auction event. So I kind of have her doing that. So that kind of takes it off my table. She'll set up a list of like who I need to email and I can crank those out. I have my director of operations organizes everything for our pop-up that we're going to have at the event. We have a all team, which means volunteers and paid staff. And we only have a staff of 4. We're very small.
Yeah.
And it's actually 3.5 because our one former client is one of our employees and he's part-time. We're going to have an all staff team meeting, but it's going to be on Zoom. One kind of informing, we have several new volunteers. I want to make sure they understand kind of what our event is, and it's what I called all hands on deck. Everybody has to volunteer because we have people sitting at the registration table and you have people doing this and people working pop-up and just kind of explain to everybody what the different jobs are and where they can fit in. And then what I always say to, because most of our volunteers are women, if they're the type of woman who likes to go out to charity fundraisers and buy a ticket, maybe go with their girlfriends, we encourage them to do that. Yeah. But I don't want anyone to buy a ticket I don't want anybody to feel obligated to do that. We will take care of all the volunteers that are there. I lost my volunteer who organizes the fashion show dealing with the models. So that's kind of fallen on me right now. I'm hoping to pick up somebody to do that, who usually has kind of a vision or a theme for the fashion show, because that is not my area of expertise. I mean, I can dress people and I can, make them look nice and get their background stories, but if we're going to go with the theme, in addition to our interview attire program, we also do a military ball gown giveaway every September up at the 29 Palms Marine Base, which is the largest Marine base in the world. It's about an hour and a half from us. And then in the spring, we do a prom dress giveaway.
Awesome.
We partner with Desert Recreation District. They use our gowns. So I try to maybe get some people dressed up in gowns, either as high school girls, or we won't necessarily get military wives coming, you know, an hour and a half away, but some, we try to get some Marines to come help out and escort them, because it's a program that everyone's very happy to, yeah, like, to promote us. And it, we know it makes us look good and audience loves it. And so it's a really good moment for us.
Do you promote the program online as well, like on events.com? And
actually, we don't do that. You know,
I would highly recommend that. That's how we got almost all of our guests, the attendees for the wellness workshop, events.com. And then the other one is Eventbrite.
Yeah, Eventbrite. Okay.
So do both of them. Just post your event, your fundraiser there.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.